Well, greetings everyone and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Insurance is a Crime, right after this. You know, we Americans may hold the dubious honor of being the most litigious people in the world, but when it comes to the law, we seem to be among the most ignorant. Today, most Americans feel powerless to resist the evils that they see perpetrated against our liberties, our privacy, and our property by these powerful government agencies and multinational corporations, the lobbies, and the news media. But you know, we don't have to remain helpless. The institution designed by God himself and incorporated into our Constitution and Bill of Rights is called the judicial power. The courts are the proper repository for the protection of our rights, our liberties, and our property. It doesn't come from Congress, and it doesn't come from our political process. Now, did you know that the privilege against self-incrimination, for instance, is neither accorded to the passive resistant nor to the person who is ignorant of his rights? It isn't afforded to one who is indifferent thereto, because it's a fighting clause, and its benefits can be retained only by sustained combat. And that right cannot be claimed by an attorney or a solicitor either. It's valid only when insisted upon by a belligerent claimant in person. Now, that citation comes from U.S. v. Johnson. That's why I contend that we should listen more to the judges and less to the politicians and the lawyers. Now, did you hear what that judge said in that statement? He said, your rights cannot be claimed by your attorney or solicitor. Your rights can only be claimed by you, the belligerent claimant in person. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, why don't you call us here at the law school? The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for our free general law CD package while you're at it. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the law school. It's entertaining, it's educational, it's informative, best of all, it's free. Now, courtroom strategy and procedure is available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? All right, we're talking about insurance. Insurance is a crime, and it's a crime that violates the law of God. I like that. Here in the United States, in some cases, if you don't buy insurance, it's a crime. For instance, in Massachusetts, if you don't have health insurance, by God, that's a crime, and they will fine you $900. I saw that just the other day on the telly. And if you don't have auto insurance and you have an accident, or if they catch you driving without your insurance card, they want to give you a ticket and give you a fine. They want to punish you if you don't buy this insurance. On the other hand, God Almighty says it's a crime for you to buy insurance. So what's a person to do? You know, you got to make a choice here. You want to obey God and keep his commandments, or did you want to obey the God of your state? You know, that's the God, that's what the first commandment's all about. You ever stop and think about that? You know, your creator said, you shall have no other gods before me. Now, we've got lots of gods, lots of sovereigns out here passing laws. City councils, states and county commissioners, Congress, state legislatures. At least these bodies are all making these laws all the time. And like as not, most of these laws are innocuous insofar as the scripture is concerned. You know, a law that says buckle your seatbelt doesn't violate the Ten Commandments. And a law that says a drive 55 doesn't violate the Ten Commandments. But a law that requires you to buy insurance does. A law that requires you to buy insurance violates the Ten Commandments. And then when you go out and buy that insurance, you know, out of fear, typically, you know, well, I've got to do this. God just has to understand, you know. Well, he doesn't. You know, I'm sure that he understands your fear, but he told you, no, don't do that. And if you go out and do it, well, then there's going to be a penalty that comes from it. Now, typically, the penalty we pay is the loss of some of our livelihood here. I told you about the last time. This woman's making $48,000 a year, paying $12,000 a year in health insurance. That's kind of an off-the-wall, wild example of a woman that really believes in health insurance. I, on the other hand, I don't pay anything for health insurance, and I don't get sick. So I'm going to tell you why. You know, you people that eat pork, fat, blood, white sugar, you people need health insurance. I wouldn't deny that for a minute. That's because there's 18 health laws in the Bible, and if you violate any one or more of those health laws, you're going to get sick. Now, you may just get a cold or the flu or something like that, and you may recover on your own. You may have enough internal response to that, immune system response, that you don't get cancer or heart attack or stroke or something serious. But the moral of the story is that you pay for every crime you commit. There's no such thing as a broken law now. without a penalty. And if there were such a thing as a broken law without a penalty, you wouldn't have a law. You would have a suggestion. And these laws in the Bible are not suggestions. You know, they say thou shalt. It's not you may. If you feel good, or if it's up to you to decide, there's just a statement that says thou shalt not steal. That's the end of the argument. You want to steal? Get after it, but you're going to have to pay a penalty for it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I know it's fun, and I've done it many times. It's really exciting. The adrenaline flows. And it's very pleasurable. God will love it. If God created anything better than adultery, he must have kept it for himself. It's a hell of a lot of fun. But again, there's a penalty that has to be paid. And so if you get caught, you know, which is very likely. Now, of course, you know, we're used to using radar detectors in our cars here in the States. I don't know about the rest of you people out there in the world, but here in the States, it's a big game. See, we got these radar detectors, and you buy one down at Radio Shack, and you put it in your car, and you're driving down the road, and it goes beep, 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 and it tells you that there's a radar machine working here somewhere. Well, the only people with radar machines are the Highway Patrol and the Sheriff's Department looking for speeders. Those are tax collectors here in the States. And so we want to beat the cops. And so, you know, you beat the cops. And then you think, well, hell, if I can beat the cops and I don't get a speeding ticket, well, then I guess I can beat God at his own game. But, you know, this God that I'm telling you about here, he's a little smarter than the average Joe Sixpack God, you know. And he's got some built-in thingies over here, like adultery has a built-in thingy, just a little thingy over here called AIDS, herpes, and VD. And now go beat that one. Go beat AIDS, herpes, and VD. Now, if somebody comes along with penicillin, they can beat the VD. Then they get the super gonorrhea bug. Okay, now go beat the super gonorrhea bug. We Americans like this game of crime and punishment because it pits us against God. It pits us against the state. And then we can beat the state, and then we'd have something to talk about down at O'Leary's bars. We'd go down to the Blue Room and brag to the boys how we beat the cops, how we beat God. Now, once in a while, we get caught in our own trap. And when you get caught, well, then you got to pay the piper. Now, insurance has a built-in penalty called the premium. The second built-in penalty is the insurance company is going to cheat you and they're going to pay you anyway. How's that? And insurance companies are hypocrites. They're hypocrites. And what they do is they go out here and they say, well, everybody needs insurance, and it's for the health, safety, and welfare of the public. And the insurance company, you know, they put themselves into the position. And they picture themselves as the protectors of the health, safety, and welfare of the public. We're just concerned about little kids that get hurt in car wrecks, and we want to make sure they get the best treatment possible to put them back together. So I said they're all lying hypocrites. I don't give a rat's ass about your kid or my kid or anybody else's. They're only concerned about the profits and the bottom line. So they go to the legislature, and they get the legislature who are in cahoots with them, see, because they benefit. The politicians benefit from these laws being enacted. And so the insurance company goes to the politician and says, give us this compulsory automobile policy law. It's against the law to drive your car without having an automobile insurance policy. All right. So now they make all of us buy the policy. And it's for equitable loss spreading. That's so that when somebody makes a mistake, has an accident, the insurance company will be there with all the funds needed to pay that damage and to make you whole. All right, then that same insurance company goes to the legislature, and they say, but we got to have special rates for unsafe drivers. So if you get some kid, you know, we're going to charge him more money. And then if you have some guy, you know, he runs a red light and you get a ticket, well, then they up your rates, see? So they don't have a uniform rate for everybody. They go out and make everybody buy their product, and then they go to the legislature and say, and on top of that, we got to have special rates over here. Ain't enough that we got everybody buying the product. All right. That's why I say they're hypocrites. They're liars. They're hypocrites. And they're aided by the lawyers. See, the people who write these contracts are all lawyers. So the politicians primarily are all lawyers. And then the insurance agents, they hire the lawyers and the politicians to write the contracts so that it will ensnare you in the web. It's like a spider's web. So they're going to bind you up and then come by and suck a little juice out of you from time to time. Don't want to kill you. They just want to come by and suck a little juice out of you when I'm hungry. Now, that's the insurance industry. If you want to, now, Jesus never said anything directly against insurance agents. He didn't have a good word for a banker, a preacher, or a lawyer, and he said so very plainly. You can read about that in Luke 11. But he told us very plainly to practice strict liability. So we've been told. So now we know, or we should have known, that what we're doing is against the law. And that is, buying insurance is against the law. And it isn't just auto insurance or health insurance. When you break a law, you get a penalty. So the question arises, well, why is it that we need insurance to start with? And the reason that we need insurance is because we're breaking the law, and the law has a penalty, and the insurance obviates the penalty. Think about it. You see, you want to eat bacon and eggs for breakfast, and God told you don't eat pig. And you want to eat pig because it tastes so good. So you eat the pig, but your body doesn't have enough hydrochloric acid to digest it. So the pig, being 50% fat, builds up in your arteries and causes you to have atherosclerosis. This plaque buildup in your body causes you to have a heart attack, which is very expensive. So you know you're going to get a heart attack, or you're suspicious that you're going to get a heart attack. My dad had a heart attack. His dad had a heart attack. My Uncle Louie had a heart attack. And so they come to you and they say, well, it's the genes. And you're just unfortunate that you were born into a family with these bad genes. That's another lie. You don't have a gene problem. You've got a dietary problem. See, I've got to tell you a little story here. My name is Gordon, and we Gordons, in our branch of the family, we're a pretty famous family back in Scotland, but with the Gordon Highlanders and the Gordon name and all. So we're pretty prominent people back there. And we came over here to this country, and there's a big clan over here, big gob of people called Gordons. And then we got a little local clan out of Westport, California. That's where my little local clan comes from. Now, the longest living Gordon in history so far, the last five generations out of our clan, is me. I'm 70. And all the rest of them died at 46, 42, 61. And all of us ate pork, shellfish, and smoke. And we all die young. Well, one day I woke up and said, I think I'll quit smoking, quit eating shellfish, and quit eating pork. And I did, and I lived to be 70. It didn't have anything to do with genes. It has to do with diet, pure and simple. Now, I'm not sick today, and I'm not going to get sick tomorrow. And that's because I'm not going to smoke today or tomorrow. I'm not going to eat shellfish. I'm not eating fat, and I'm eating blood, and I'm eating pig. Now, when I change my diet, and I include pork, fat, blood, and shellfish, then I need health insurance. And I don't deny it. And by God, if you're going to smoke, if you want to drink to excess, and you want to eat blood, fat, and pig, you need health insurance. I don't deny it. And that's the penalty that you pay for the violation of those health laws. Now, there's 18 of those health laws. 19, I found another one the other day. 19 health laws. Now, if you'll follow those 19 health laws in the Bible, you will not get sick. In fact, you've got a contract clause. Did you know that? There's a clause in the contract that guarantees you 70 years, that's 25,550 days of life, healthy, sick-free days, 25,550. You don't need any sick leave because you're not going to get sick practicing these 19 health laws. And everybody that gets sick has violated one or more of those laws. If you've got cancer, if you've got heart attack, if you've got leukemia, if you've got diabetes, I don't care what it is, you got allergies, you're in violation of one or more of those 19 health laws. Now, if you're like the average Joe Sixpack Christian right about now, you're just sitting there livid, sitting on the edge of your chair, foaming at the mouth. You're just really ticked off. Who does that guy think he is? I'm just a reporter. I just came here to report facts. I'm not a religious guy. I'm trying to get you to join any church. I ain't asking for your tithes and offerings. I ain't asking you to give your heart to Jesus today. I don't give a rat's rectum what you do. Couldn't care less. I don't care if you live or die, Bob. I get letters in here all the time. People, they accuse me of being a proselytizer trying to get them to join my religion over here. Hell, I don't go to church. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. Church isn't your solution. Church is your problem. Hell, if the guy out there in the church was doing you any favors, he would tell you, you got 19 health laws over here. You got to practice these 19 health laws. Otherwise, you got to have health insurance. Now, this health insurance costs $12,000 a year. Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me, and I can't tell you what the profit margin on health insurance is. But I'm going to guess that health insurance is just as profitable as auto insurance or fire insurance or any other form of insurance. Otherwise, I wouldn't be writing it. Why would I write health insurance if it only makes 10% profit when I can make 90% profit on auto insurance? Hell, I wouldn't even write it. You know, it's just money. It's just, we're talking about dollars and cents here. Business is business. Nothing personal here, just business. No, I'm not telling people I shouldn't buy insurance. Hell, I don't know if that's good for you or not. I determined it wasn't good for me. That's why I got my Carnival Cruise, my Princess Cruise. I got the Princess Cruise Slush Fund coffee can. And that's where I put my insurance premiums. Every year I stick my insurance premiums into my slush fund. God, I got a hell of a slush fund. Don't get sick. I put my premiums in there. Instead of sending my premiums off, you know, to Blue Cross, I put my premiums in my own can. I figured if health insurance was profitable for Blue Cross, it would be just as profitable for George Gordon. By God, they're right. And what you do is you open your own health insurance company. You know, the Bob Jones, the George Gordon, the Tom Dooley health insurance company. And you put all your premiums into your own can. Self-insurance, they call that. Big companies do that. They're self-insured. Municipalities like Tulsa, Oklahoma, they don't buy insurance. They're self-insured. And they make money doing that. And they're not doing that for no good reason. And I'm not doing it for no good reason. All right, now let's carry this out. Remember I showed you in the last program, I said, you've got a guardian angel. Now, if you'd practice this Ten Commandment model over here, this angel has a duty to protect you. Do you know that? I'll tell you a little story here. I was driving down Chinon Boulevard up in Boise. Actually, it's in Garden City, but it's all one big town there, surrounds Garden City. Anyway, going down Chinon Boulevard, and I got an itch on my ankle, which was down inside my boot. And so I was driving my pickups and going down the street. So I take my foot off the gas pedal to reach down in my boot and scratch this itch that I've got on my ankle. So I'm scratching away there. Now, they used to set the traffic lights, say, when you're headed certain times of the day, so that the lights, you know, would change at 35 miles an hour. You wouldn't have to stop. And I was getting kind of concerned because I was slowing down, see. So then I had to speed up in order to keep up with the traffic flow and to keep up with that 35-mile-an-hour light, see. So I'm traveling along there, and I got down to the outlaw at 42nd. And I'm approaching the intersection, see. And as I'm approaching the intersection, here comes this dump truck off to my right. Now, this light has been green for a long time. Hell, I could see the light was green, you know, when I was back here at 35th, 37th, you know, 39th. But I'm traveling along here at 35 miles an hour, you know, and I'm slowing down. Now, had I not been scratching my ankle, I would have been further ahead, you know, 100, 200, 300 feet further ahead. I don't know how far exactly, but I would have been further down the road. Now, that light had been green for a long time. That dump truck coming through there. Now, either one, the light was green in his direction, which means the traffic light malfunctioned and it was showing green in both directions. 42nd and Chinon, both lights are green. Well, I don't know that because I can't see the green light or red light showing the dump truck, you know, traveling down 42nd Street. I can only see the green light on Chinon. And it hadn't turned red yet. It hadn't turned yellow yet. Still green. And this dump truck tears in front of me. I slammed on the brakes. I go, oh, my God. Now, if that guy had hit the side of my pickup with that 10-ton dump truck, well, he'd have spoiled my day. Now I'm telling you. And so I regained my composure, and I kept on going down the street, and I got thinking about that. And I said, you know, if I hadn't had that itch, I'd have been further up the road. I'd have been in the middle of the intersection. Of course, I could have been on the other side of the intersection looking in my rearview mirror as this guy were running through. I don't know exactly where I was going to be, but you know, it would have been in a different position if it hadn't been for that itch. Now, I don't know if my angel made my ankle itch or not, but have you ever had a close call like that? I was flying down the Yellow River one time, and I saw this power line go over the top of my airplane, and then I got down to the airport, and there's a big power line that goes over at McCann. I didn't know there was a power line there. It's on the map. I mean, hell, then something they hid, you know, or put up last week. And, you know, I was in the office there, and I was telling this story, and Gene Roethlin said, well, George, you flew under the McCann power line. And I thought, oh, my God, I didn't even know it was there. You know, serendipity happens, you know. And God protects, little kids and drunks. And it just has to be that way. Now, if I had a big, you know, those big power lines, you know, they're up off the river. They're probably 200-300 feet. But when that thing went over the windshield of the airplane, hell, it looked like I could have reached out and grabbed it. I would have thought that thing would have tore the tail off my airplane. I was that close to it. All right. Now, the moral of the story is that you got life, you know, and you come up with these close calls. Close calls. I've had four or five of those. Should have got killed, but I didn't. All right. Now, you probably have, too. Well, that's your angel out there working for you. Now, if you practice this Ten Commandment law over here and you're not out here doing this on purpose and trying to tempt God, I wasn't flying into that power line on purpose. I'd pure accident. That time it was just an accident. But, you know, some other times, you know, it was just stupidity on my part and I'm doing it on purpose. Now, people like that need insurance, you know, to take up the slack, you know, when they get killed. And so I just want to point that out to you, that God has a built-in program, a Ten Commandment model over here. Lay off the insurance. Practice strict liability. Use your head, act responsibly, and then you can take those insurance premiums, put them in your pocket, and you'll live to be 70 years old. Now, I'm at 70 here, and my contract runs out this year. This is it for me. Contract's up. I'm a free agent. And as a free agent, I may live to be 80, 90, or 100. I mean, doesn't mean I'm going to die next week because I turn 70, but it just means that no, all bets are off. You know, I was contracted out for 25,550 days, got my 25,000 days, and by God, that's it. Contract's fulfilled, contract's terminated, you're on your own now. Kind of like a kid, you know, grows up, now you're on your way to college. You go out and feed yourself. All right, now tuck that one away in your heart. Now the guy comes along and says, well, you got to have this insurance over here. So it's kind of like going to college, and you got to have this student loan. You got to bury yourself in debt over here. I saw a piece the other day, they're starting to figure out that this college thing over here ain't all it's cracked up to be. You people have been taken advantage of here. You've been sold this college bill of goods that you're going to make all this money if you go to college. truth of the matter is, you're not, and you're going to get buried in debt in the process. But that's your problem. And I'll let you solve that. But this insurance thing over here, I mean, everybody's involved in this insurance thing. And you're involved in it because everybody's telling you how good it is. And very seldom do you ever have a Hurricane Katrina come through, blow your house down, and you get out here and try to collect on your insurance policy. But I could have told you before Hurricane Katrina, if you have a hurricane, they won't pay. Let's take a look at tornadoes. See, I live in a place called Tornado Alley. I don't have any tornado insurance. Well, my God, what am I going to do when my house blows down? Build another house. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to build another house when my house blows down. Now let's take a look at, well, how many houses get blown down? Well, in 1978, we had a tornado here in Ozark County, Missouri. Now, there might have been one since 1978, but if there is, I don't know about it. But back in 78, one went through here, and it hit the Theodosia Marina. And we still have some of the debris over here on our East 40. I got a piece of ground over here called the East 40. And the sign from Theodosia Marina is over there on that piece of ground to this day, which is about 5 miles away. You know, it's a crow fly. And that was a pretty powerful wind. Came through there, wrecked the marina, and caused a lot of property damage. We had a tornado here just the other day. That was last year or year before. And it hit over at, some little town over toward West Plains. About, it wasn't in Ozark County, it was in the next county over. In Howell County, I believe it was. But anyway, hit this little service station, killed a kid over there, and tore up the real estate, knocked down a fence or a barn or two. Now, the chances of a tornado occurring right here in Tornado Alley aren't very great. But now, if a tornado hits your house is toast. It's gone, and you with it. I don't deny that. But see, the chances of that happening to you aren't very good to start with. In fact, only 69 people a year on average get killed in tornadoes. See how many people we got in this country? 300 million? All right, well, gird up your loins, because 69 of you are going to die this year. 69 of you 300 million Americans are not going to see the election in 2010. You're going to die this year in a tornado, no less, statistically. Now, does that just send shivers up and down your spine? Just terrorizes you, doesn't it? So when you go out and buy this tornado insurance, is that going to save your life? Well, the tornado insurance never saved anybody's life, and all it's going to do is replace your goods. And that's assuming that you have a tornado, because, see, if your house gets blown down by what they call straight-line winds, they won't pay. There's a clause in the tornado policy. It says, we don't pay unless it's a tornado. Now, when you bought this tornado insurance, see, the salesman came out and said, oh, my God, you live in Oklahoma? This is in the middle of Tornado Alley. Why, you're taking your life in your hands living here. You'd be a fool if you didn't have tornado insurance. And so they go around, they sell this tornado insurance to everybody. Well, not everybody, but because I didn't buy one, but everybody else got one, see? Now, in order for you to collect on this tornado insurance, which typically occurs at 12 o'clock at night in the middle of a thunderstorm when it's pitch black and nobody can see their hands in front of their faces, and if you don't have a tornado watch spotter on the ground who can identify the tornado and verify it, they won't pay. Now, let me repeat that again. If you have tornado insurance and you have a wind damage incident, the insurance company is going to say it wasn't a tornado, it was a straight-line wind, and we got a clause in the contract that says we don't pay for straight-line wind. Let me ask you this. What in the hell difference does it make to you whether there's a straight-line wind that blows your house down or a circular wind that blows your house down? Isn't your house just as blown down? So as the consumer, you don't really care how your house got blown down. You just want to build a new house. And the insurance salesman says you need tornado insurance, so you buy tornado insurance. But straight-line wind isn't a tornado. Okay. And unless they can verify it, I mean, you got to have verification from the Weather Bureau that it was, in fact, a tornado that blew your house down, which is about as rare as hen's teeth. So the bottom line is you need tornado insurance like you need another thumb in the web of your left hand. That's where reality's at. Now, if you want to buy tornado insurance, hell, don't let me get in the way. I don't care. But I take the tornado insurance money and stick it in my Princess Cruise can. I've never been on a Princess Cruise, but I have high hopes that someday I may be able to take a Princess Cruise, and if I do, I've got the money to do it. How do you like that? Hey, we're at the halfway point here, and I got to remind you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio worldwide. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on a compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radiolog schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Now, you can order one by simply calling and ask for it. They're free. Happy to give you one. And just call us and ask. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse will necessarily reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about insurance as a crime. Now, it's a crime in more ways than one, but I'm pointing out to you that insurance is a crime because it violates the law of God, which calls for practicing strict liability. And if we would all practice strict liability, we would have a lot less accidents. See, all the drunk drivers out there then all of a sudden would be responsible for their actions instead of their insurance companies. And then all of a sudden we would deal with drunk drivers under the strict liability statute in the scripture. And what that means is a drunk driver's driving down the road doesn't have any insurance at all, none. And then he's driving down the road drunk, which is irrelevant and immaterial. But because he's drunk, he falls asleep at the wheel, crosses the center line, and hits your car head on and kills your little kid. All right. Now, there's a damage, and we got to have a solution to this. And sure enough, God, the creator of the universe, not being half as dumb as we thought he was, has a solution for this. We take the drunk out, and we stone him to death in the public square. We take him into Gainesville, tie him up to the big tree on the courthouse grounds, and then we have Jimmy Wallace bring in a dump truck load of rock, and we have a big party over there on Sunday afternoon, selling cotton candy and hot dogs, all beef, of course. And then we all pick up a handful of rocks, and somebody gives the go-ahead, and the guy whose child was killed casts the first stone. He doesn't have to hit the guy, because there's enough of us guys that think that we're pretty good at rock throwing that we'll hit him plenty of times. But everybody in the community will be there to watch this event by law. You must be there to watch this guy die so that you can hear and fear, spelled with an H and an F, hear and fear. God designed it that way. He doesn't want these executions carried out in secret, behind closed doors, behind stone walls in a prison someplace. He wants blood to flow, and he wants you to see it, because this is what we're going to do to you if you drive drunk and run around killing people. See? Now, it also happens that if you're sober, so you could be stone cold sober, not had a drink, you could be a teetotal and Baptist, but you're tired, and you're driving down the road, and you're in a hurry, and you need to get from here to there, and we don't deny that, but you fall asleep at the wheel, and you cross the center line, and you run into this guy and you kill his kid. But you're not drunk. But you're just as culpable and you're just as negligent, and you don't have any insurance because, you know, here's God along and says, I don't want insurance, I want strict liability. You know what we're going to do with you, you stone, sober, teetotal, and Baptist? I'm going to take you out to the same tree, tie you up, have Jimmy Wallace bring a dump truck load of rock, and we're all going to sit here, and the guy whose kid was killed casts the first stone. Is that a simple letter? No fuss, no muss. And the rest of us over here that are pretty good rockers, you know, and I'm not even talking about rock and roll, pretty good rockers, we'll all pick up a handful of rocks and we'll finish the job. Now, one or two things happens here. Just one or two things. Number one, we'll kill every drunk, and there won't be any more drunks, therefore there'll be no more killed kids from drunk drivers. Why? We stoned them all. They're all dead. Or we'll stone one or two of them. And the rest of them will then wake up to reality and become very responsible very soon. And they will stop driving drunk. And then all of the sober, teetotal, and Baptist drivers who drive when they're half asleep because they're tired will stop at the rest areas and rest up or drink more coffee to stay awake so that they don't have accidents and kill people. See how simple that is? Now, all these billions and billions of dollars. God, I got a number here. I got to read you a story here. The insurance industry here. Auto insurance company profits are greater under no fault. No fault. You hear all that no fault insurance thing? Hey, the insurance companies, they're pretty crafty people. They go out here and they say, what we need is no fault insurance. Doesn't make any difference whose fault it is, but you have to pay. And so, again, they write this legislation for the legislators to write up. I mean, it wasn't that, you know, your kid went to college and then got elected representative, went to the legislature, and he's a real smart kid, and he came up with this no fault. No, no. Now, some auto executive in the insurance industry got to thinking about this, and he said, you know, we spend a lot of money on litigation. We could save all that litigation money by just coming up with no fault insurance. And they did. And so they make more money now than they did before. Look at this. In the year 1990, they sold, the total amount that they sold was $78 billion, and they netted $4 billion. And then now in 1996, 6 years later, they sold $107 billion and netted $13. They make three times as much profit off of no fault than they do when they have tort claims. Now, I'm not opposed to no-fault insurance. I'm not opposed to tort fees or insurance. I'm just opposed to insurance in general. Insurance is a crime. Insurance ought to be abolished. We shouldn't have any at all. Now, of course, the conversation is never about should we have insurance or should we not have insurance. The insurance is a given, and the debate is always between insurance and insurance. Should we have no-fault insurance or should we have tort claim insurance? Should we have mandatory insurance or should we have voluntary insurance? The conversation is never again about should we have insurance or no insurance. That's never on the table. We don't talk about that, which is why I brought it up. I think we need to talk about it. Now, I'm not on a crusade here. I am not trying to get you to write a letter to Kit Bond and have him introduce some legislation in the Congress of the United States to abolish insurance. That isn't going to happen. The people of America, the people of France and Germany, hell, you people around the world, you're totally persuaded that insurance is the only way to go, and that's what you want. By God, that's what you're going to have. And I don't want to get in the way of your happiness and success. And on top of that, I don't think you're deserving of a Princess Cruise anyway. So pay your damn premiums and stay home. See if I care. Now, some of the rest of you people out there may be sitting there saying, well, I'd kind of like to obey God and keep his commandments. I think that's a good idea. There's not many people like that, but there's, you know, 5 or 10. You find them every once in a while. They'll say, gee, Mr. Gordon, you write me a letter. And they'll say, gee, Mr. Gordon, I listened to your program, and you said that the Ten Commandments are pretty good, and I just kind of happen to agree with you. And I'm not quite sure where this guy went wrong in life, that he would agree that the Ten Commandments are a pretty good program. But somewhere along the line, he got screwed up with some fundamentalist sect and that told him that the Ten Commandments weren't as bad as we thought they were. And so he might listen to this and say, gee, I didn't know that insurance was a crime. And that's because you Christians, you know, you go to church, and they never tell you what the laws are. They don't teach law in church. They teach religion. And religion doesn't get down to where the nitty-gritty is. So if you're making $100,000 a year, you're probably paying about $18,000 a year in premiums. Now, some guy's going to say, well, but I'm not paying $12,000 a year for health insurance. My boss is, see, I have group health insurance. Oh, no, no. I showed you this in the first program coming right out of the chute. Bob, you pay all of it. Every damn dime. There's no employer out there who's paying your health insurance costs for you. You, Bob, have already worked and earned the money and paid for it. What your employer is doing, he's cutting himself in for a little piece of the action. Now, I got to tell you, I never did do this. I don't know why. I'm a thief, and I stole for years and years, and I don't know why I wasn't stealing insurance premiums from my employees. It's just that I was too damn lazy to put the program into effect, I guess. It's the only excuse I can offer. But I'm going to tell you how this insurance thing works for your employer. See, your employer, when he hires you, he has to rent you. He cannot own you. And you cannot own yourself. You belong to the state. And that's affected by your birth certificate. Now, the state owns you. So when an employer wants to hire somebody, he has to rent you from your owner, from your master. That's the state. And when he does that, he has to pay minimum wage, and then he has to pay workman's compensation and contributing matching Social Security payments and unemployment insurance and Medicare, workman's compensation. So you got all these costs. And these costs years ago used to be 16.3% when I was out there doing it. So every time I pay you a dollar, I got to pay the government 16.3 cents. All right, so I don't want to pay that 16.3%, see? So I come along to you and I say, well, look, Bob, instead of me paying you $10 an hour, how's about me paying you $5 an hour and I'll pay all of your health care insurance? So you say, well, George, that sounds like a great idea. So I'll work for $5 an hour and you pay my health care insurance. All right, so now I put you into a group policy, which isn't near as good a coverage. But I put you in this group policy and I have a salesman come by and lie to you and tell you about all the things we're going to do for you until it comes time to doing it. And then we point out paragraph 18 and paragraph 9 and paragraph 4 and paragraph 7 where we don't do any of those things. All the things that you need, want, and desire, we don't do. All right. Now, the insurance company comes along and they say, okay, we're going to give you this big discount because you got 50 employees and this is 50 sales all at the same time. We're going to give you a discount here for this bulk rate. And so I've programmed in $12,000 a year, but I'm only going to pay $8,000, so I'm going to make $4,000 a year. I'm not going to lower my prices or pay you a dime more, Bob. I'm going to put that $4,000 into my Princess Cruise slush fund. So the employer, he takes $4,000 out of this $12,000. The insurance company takes $8,000. And then the insurance company, see, they ain't paying out $8,000. They're paying out $4,000, so they're making $4,000. See how that works? Okay. Everybody's making a profit. And we're making a profit off of your labor, Bob, because we ain't paying you $10 an hour. We're paying you $5. Okay, or something in between. Now, that's the way that game is played. Now, those aren't the exact figures and exact numbers, but that's the way the game is played. Now, if you want to play that game, get right after it. Don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. But I thought I'd report to you that this is the way the ripoff works. Then, when you're down here on the Gulf Coast, breaking the law, practicing Christmas, Easter, New Year's, and Mardi Gras, and just having a great time, then here comes Hurricane Katrina in here, wipes your house out, see? And then we point out paragraph 18, we don't pay for floods. You got to pay extra for flood insurance. Then, like as not, if you live in a floodplain, they won't sell you flood insurance in a floodplain. You got to live on a bald knob at 7,000 feet. See, I live on a bald knob at 7,000, well, 1,200 feet. I ain't at 7,000 anymore. I left Idaho. But I live at 1,200 feet above sea level. When was the last time we had a flood up here at 1,200 feet? Well, never have had one. So I don't buy flood insurance. See, the place where you need flood insurance is over here in St. Louis, next to the river, where they won't sell you any flood insurance. Well, you know, unless they charge you an arm and a leg with all these riders and restrictions on there. We'll pay for your flood if the flood occurs with salt water at St. Louis, and then your house is underwater by 36 inches on the second Tuesday of an odd-numbered month, you know, or something like that, then they'll pay. But you've got to read those contracts. And when you read those contracts, I'll guarantee you this. If you can read, if you've been to college, and if you can read, I'm going to presume that you can, you will not be able to read your insurance policy contract or your credit card application without a 10-power loop. So first of all, go buy yourself a magnifying glass so you can read the damn contract. This doesn't apply to all of you high school dropouts now, because you people can't read anyway. So it's irrelevant to you. You don't need the loop because you can't read. Now, I'm just talking to you college kids now, those of you that can read. Even with 20/20 vision, you won't be able to read without a magnifying glass. So now, I told you ahead of time. Now, read the paragraph. And if it doesn't make your blood boil, then there's something wrong with you. You've got a mental defect. You read those contract paragraphs, because that's what they're doing. They're lying to you and stealing from you is what they're doing. All right, now I'm going to tell you a little story over here. Fire insurance. And I was up in Boise, Idaho, and I wanted to do a research paper on fire insurance. And that's because no bank will issue a mortgage to you without fire insurance. Test it. Now, a lot of these banks, they won't lend you money for a mortgage unless you buy life insurance. Try this. Let's suppose you go into Denny's restaurant, and you sit down for lunch, and the waitress comes over, and she says, I want to see your proof of life insurance and auto insurance. What would you say to them? Well, you'd say, that's crazy. That's insane. Nobody would do that. Well, then what in the hell is the bank demanding that you have fire insurance on your house for? Why is the bank demanding that you have life insurance? Well, because, you know, they've issued the mortgage. Yeah, that's right. And like as not, they get a kickback from the insurance company as well. You know, it's kind of like a doctor. Now, a doctor, he's not a brain surgeon. He's just a general practitioner. So he does some tests, and he says, well, Bob, I'm sorry to report this to you, but you got a brain tumor. Now, I don't work on brains, and so therefore, I got to send you to a specialist. And so he writes you up a little note, and he says, I'm sending you over here to Dr. Johnson. And I want you to go over to Dr. Johnson. And Dr. Johnson, who is a brain surgeon, and I'm recommending him very highly because he's the best in the business. I mean, this guy, he just operates on brains, and he just opens up heads and fixes brains. He's a brain specialist, and this is the guy I'm sending you to. So you go over to Dr. Johnson. He looks at it, and he says, yep, that looks like a brain tumor to me. And so he takes you in. He cuts your brain tumor out, kind of like Ted Kennedy, you know. All right. Well, then you got to ask yourself, how does your doctor get paid by Dr. Johnson? See, now there's nothing said here. I mean, nobody's sitting here saying, well, your doctor gets paid a 20% finder's fee. See, I'm an old-timey salesman. I gotta tell you that when somebody sends a customer around, we pay them a finder's fee. You know how that works? It's just common sense. So you tell people, you know, well, you know, I'm selling this, and if you send somebody over, and if he buys, well, I'll pay you 10%. I'll pay you 20%. And so these doctors, they have finder's fees. Pharmaceutical companies, you know, they're selling drugs, and so they give discounts. And, you know, the more you buy, the more you make. You know, the more you peddle this drug, well, the more we'll pay you. And so, you know, my dad was selling insurance, and so he was getting paid a residual fee. See, if you go out and talk to this guy and get him to re-up, you know, they call them re-ups. Not quite sure what re-up meant, but my dad was sending these re-ups, you know. He'd go out and visit people and get them to re-up, and so he'd get 5% for doing that. Good business for the insurance company, good business for my dad, good business for the policyholders. Everybody benefits. All right, well, that's what the doctor's doing. So the doctor, you know, he's getting paid by you to find his brain tumor. Then he gets paid 20% of the fee that the brain specialist over here. See, this brain specialist, he isn't cheap, you know. He's going to charge you $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, you know, to do this brain surgery over here. And so he's going to pay the doctor that found the brain tumor to start with $5,000 for just sending you overtime. That's pretty good money. All right, so tuck that one away in your heart there, so you can see how this game is played. So the bank over here requires that you buy life insurance. The bank requires that you buy fire insurance. Well, yeah, it's good business. But, you know, how many people die before they pay their mortgage off? How many people die, you know, or how many people's house burns down and the bank doesn't get paid? So that is so rare that it's a non-existent hazard. The bank's getting paid a finder's fee for that. That's what's going on there. And you should be really, really, really suspicious if the bank recommends that you buy it from Allstate or somebody else. But you don't have to buy from Allstate. I'll tell you a story here. I used to be a general contractor in Oakland, California. There was two fire insurance contractors in Oakland. The Rose Company was one, I forget the other one. And they got all the fire insurance business. Well, we had a building and there was a fire in it. And so we wanted to do it. I'm a contractor, so we wanted the business ourselves. And guess what? I went down to the insurance adjuster and he said that I had to send him $3,000. That was his kickback. $3,000 was his kickback. How do you like that? And if I don't pay him the $3,000, I'm going to give it to Rose or the other guy because they're going to pay the $3,000 kickback. Got that? All right. Is that ethical? That's not ethical. Is it even legal? Probably not. Is it common practice? Absolutely. Goes on every day, day in, day out. If you think insurance companies and banks and bankers and insurance companies are honest, moral, ethical people, you need your head examined. You need a psychiatrist. May I recommend? All right. Enough said for today. I'm running out of time. I've got to remind you that you're listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. Now, if you want more information, go to our webpage. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has a radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Hey, time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.